Take your Bibles and turn with me over to Luke chapter 14. Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And tonight we are going to begin a series on the subject of discipleship. What is true discipleship? And tonight we're going to just have an introductory lesson to this subject of discipleship. And as we go along, we're going to develop what discipleship actually means over the next several weeks, what the Word of God has to say about it, how it applies to you and to me. And I want us to look here in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 down to verse 33. Follow along with me as I read, beginning in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding of your word tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd give guidance as well. Lord, I pray that this truth concerning discipleship would begin to take shape. And Father, that it would impact our lives, Father, to the everyday, moment-by-moment living that we live through this life. And that, Father, this idea, this subject of discipleship would not be something that is just an intellectual thing, something that is acknowledged, but, Father, it would be true discipleship, something that is practiced and followed in the daily life. Help us understand your word, and Father, we pray for guidance here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Discipleship. Discipleship means to be a practicing follower. That's the general definition of discipleship, to be a practicing follower. And our text here that tonight speaks of being a practicing follower of a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And so to be a disciple, a practicing follower of Jesus Christ, the word disciple actually means taught or trained one. It means one who comes to be taught. It means a learner. A disciple is one who is trained, who is taught. A disciple is one who is a learner. In the Bible, this word disciple appears 269 times in the New Testament alone. And it speaks of those whom Jesus calls his disciples. It also speaks or makes reference to those who will be the Lord's disciples, but it also refers to followers of other men. But in every case, it always refers to a practicing follower. That's what discipleship means. Three times the word disciple appears in our text. In verse 26, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you look again in verse 27, And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus speaks in very strong words related to discipleship in our text. And We're not going to necessarily develop every aspect of this text tonight. We'll get to it in our series. But I wanted to give you some introductory thoughts concerning discipleship. And when we speak of discipleship here, for clarity's sake, not that this is something anyone in here is confused about, at least I don't think so. When we speak of discipleship, we're not speaking of salvation. But rather, we're going to speak of the product of real and genuine salvation. The product of salvation in somebody's heart is the result, or the result of salvation should be that a person becomes a follower and a learner of Jesus Christ. And so that's what discipleship is, and that's what we're going to talk about. I want to give you some examples in the New Testament of disciples. First of all, what we find in the New Testament, that New Testament disciples or New Testament learners or followers of Jesus Christ, they were called to discipleship by Christ Himself. They were called to discipleship by Jesus Himself. Look with me in John chapter 1. John 1 and verse 35, down through the end of this chapter. Follow along with me as I read here. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." This is the same words that Jesus used. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." There's a lot here in this passage of Scripture, and we won't study it out tonight, but we will in our text as well. But we find that Jesus called these men to discipleship. He said, "Come and see." He said, "Follow me." Another thing that we learn from this is that those who were followers of Christ went and did the same thing that Jesus did. They went and found somebody and said, "Come and see." Look with me over in Matthew chapter 4. Again, we're looking at these disciples were called to discipleship by Jesus Christ Himself. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now look in Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 and verse 27. "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Now, if you were paying attention, you would have noticed that that word follow appears several times. Jesus calling his disciples, and he says to them, follow me. The word follow in those cases is a Greek word that means, now note this, to be in the same way with, okay? The word follow means to be in the same way with, but that word that is used specifically as a disciple, a follower, a practicing follower of Christ. To follow means to be in the same way with. The disciples in the New Testament were called by Christ himself to discipleship. The disciples in the New Testament were also trained and taught by Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 10. I am in Mark. Matthew 13, beginning of verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoso hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your hearts, for they hear. And so we find here that Jesus is instructing his disciples. Here he gives them a fuller understanding or a fuller revelation. They said, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? And here Jesus takes the time to teach and to instruct his disciples in the things of God. Remember what the definition of disciple is. It means a taught one. It means a learner. And here the disciples are learning. They're being instructed by Jesus Christ. And throughout his ministry, what do we find? Jesus teaching his disciples. Not only that, but New Testament disciples are commissioned by Christ himself to teach and to train the local church to evangelize the world. Look in Matthew with me, Matthew 28. It's our memory verse for the quarter. New Testament disciples were commissioned by Christ to teach and to train the local church to evangelize the world. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In verse 19, we see the word teach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is the Greek word, mathetuo, and it means literally to make disciples. So Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. But then in verse 20, we find the word teaching. Teaching them. Teaching who? The disciples that have been made, teach them. That is a word that means to instruct. And so he says, Jesus says to his disciples, when we know this is given institutionally as a New Testament church, he says, go into all the world and make disciples, and then take those disciples and then teach them how to keep or observe, to guard all the things that I've commanded you. And so we find that a church is to be made up of disciples who have learned from their master, who is Christ, to make other disciples. Amen. A New Testament church is to be made up of true followers, practicing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me make some applications of discipleship. All these things that I've just spoken to you. For Bible believers, those are not hard things to accept. Those are things that we would readily embrace and say, yes, we believe those instructions, and we believe that we are to be disciples of Christ. It's not a hard thing to accept intellectually. It's not a hard thing in theory to say that this is the way it's supposed to be. The problem lies in the interpretation or the application of true discipleship. How does it relate practically in the life? That's where the problem lies. And we need to know what the Bible teaches regarding what true discipleship is. And then we need to take our life and examine it and say, am I a real true disciple of Christ biblically and practically, or is it in theory and intellectually only? Are you following me? Are you with me here? Okay. People have all kinds of different definitions of what discipleship is, so that they can say, I'm a disciple of Christ. But what does the Bible definition give us? What does Jesus say a true disciple is? And that's where we need to examine. And we'll develop this thought and what the Scriptures examine, what the Scriptures teach regarding discipleship as we move through this series. But for tonight, for one to be a disciple based on biblical precepts, based upon principles of the Scripture, based upon practices, one first of all needs to be a disciple of the Savior. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, "You follow me." In order for us to biblically be a disciple, we need to be a disciple of the Savior, the person of Jesus Christ. We are to grow in our knowledge, in our understanding of the person of Jesus Christ, not just so that we have this broad base of understanding or knowledge of who the Messiah or who Jesus Christ was, but so that our life becomes to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We cannot be like Him if we do not know Him. Jesus said to His disciples, you follow, you be in line with, you align yourself with me. The word follow means to be in the same way with. Jesus says, you be in the same way with me. Look in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says here in Matthew 11 in verse 28, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Maybe, Lord willing, next week we'll consider this passage of Scripture. But here, Jesus is talking to Jews who were burdened, who were heavy laden with the works of the law. And the Pharisees had put this heavy burden on the people to which they could not maintain, they could not hold. And Jesus says, you come unto me. And He says, all of you that labor under the law and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon me and you'll find rest for your souls. But note the words here. In verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me. You know what that word is? It's a Greek word, but the word means to follow. The same exact meaning as where Jesus says to His disciples, you follow me. Jesus says, come, follow me. And then note here that He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. That word learn means to understand. You understand me. And this is the essence of real discipleship. To be a disciple of the Savior, the person of Jesus Christ, to be in the same way as Jesus Christ, to grow close to Him, to know Him, to understand Him in His fellowship, understand Him in His sufferings. All of these are parts of discipleship. And again, these are all things that we're going to explore throughout this series of what discipleship really means. But the first and foremost is that we've got to be a disciple of the Savior. We secondly need to be a disciple of the Scriptures. These are the precepts of Christ. Not just the person of Christ, but also the precepts of Christ. What is it that proves our discipleship? It's our obedience to the words of Christ and to the commands of Christ. We also need to be disciples of the Spirit of God. That's the power of Christ. Look in John chapter 5 with me. John 5 and verse 39. The Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Skip down to verse 45. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust." That's the law. "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" I take you to this passage of Scripture here because we're talking about being a disciple of the Savior, the person of Christ, a disciple of the Scriptures, which are the commands and the precepts of Christ, but also of the Spirit of God. And we find here that in verse 39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they," the Scriptures, "are they which testify of" who? "Of me." And so we find that the Spirit of God teaches the saints of God the Scriptures. The Spirit of God gives us understanding of the Scriptures. But what do the Scriptures teach us? About Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. It all begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, back in Luke chapter 14, go back there with me, begins to teach us some things about discipleship. Look in verse 26. It teaches us that in order to be a disciple of Christ, Jesus says here, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then he goes on to give some illustrations of a man who's going to build a tower. He needs to count the cost. And one who's going to go to war, who needs to have an understanding and count the cost. And then in verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." Our text here teaches us that to be a disciple of Christ, there's a cross that we have to bear. Take up your cross and follow me. But it also teaches us that there's a cost that has to be paid if we're going to be a true disciple of Christ. And then the third thing is that it teaches us that there's a conflict that we need to fight if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. And we'll develop all of these thoughts another time. But each one of these, Jesus is giving an overall view here. Each one of these descriptions teaches us this, that being a true disciple of Christ will not be a life of ease. And it's certainly, being a disciple of Christ is certainly more than just simply being saved. Being a disciple of Christ is going to cost us something. There's a cost to be paid to be a true disciple of Christ. I think there's a big problem in Christianity today. Lots of people claim to be followers of Christ. Lots of people claim to be disciples. But there's a problem with discipleship today. But you know what? It's the same exact problem that Jesus encountered in his day. Look in John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. We find that being a true disciple is not a life of ease. That there's a cost that has to be paid. There's a cross that must be borne. In John chapter 6 and verse 60, look at verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Well, what things did he say? Well, the content of John chapter 6, or the subject of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 6, is basically, it's Jesus only. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other one. It's Christ. In the context, you find that he's teaching on the bread of life, etc. These were the things that he taught in the synagogue. But look at verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him, no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now note here, again, the subject of the teaching in John chapter 6 is Jesus only. He talks about him being the bread of life, and if you don't eat my flesh, then you don't have a part with me. If you don't drink my blood, then you don't have a part with me. And in verse 60, we find that some of the disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And verse 66, that tells us that because it was a hard thing, it was a hard saying, that many turned from him and walked no more with him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, in fact, go with me there, John chapter 8, just turn the page over, look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Look at the distinction that Jesus made here. When he was teaching, the disciples who said, "This isn't hard saying," they, and many of them turned away from him and didn't walk anymore with him. A chapter later or two, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye disciples indeed." The word "continue" in John 8:31 means to stay. It means to abide in the word of Christ. How deep does your conviction for truth go? "Oh, we believe the Bible, Pastor. We believe in truth. We've got a conviction for truth. We're disciples of Jesus." How deep does your conviction for truth go? Because real conviction for truth leads to obedience to that truth. Understand what I'm saying? If there are areas of life that we are not subject to, that we have not subjected to the Lord's leadership or the lordship of Christ in, if there are areas of life that we are not in compliance and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ in, what does that tell us about our conviction for truth? Because conviction for truth leads to obedience to the truth. What is the proof of our discipleship? Well, it's obedience. It's to continue to abide in the word of Christ. How deep does your commitment to Christ go? Commitment leads to a willingness to forsake all and follow and obey Christ. What did Jesus say? If there's any among you that would be my disciple, if you're not willing to forsake all, you can't be my disciple. Those are some hard words, some hard sayings. Discipleship involves surrender of our will to the will of Christ. Discipleship involves identification with Christ, fellowship in his sufferings. Discipleship involves obedience to the word of Christ. Discipleship to Jesus means, listen, here it is, let me bring it all down to a close. Discipleship to Jesus Christ means that Jesus Christ has absolute authority and right to one's life, to do with it as he pleases. So, if we give him certain rights, certain places, but then we withhold other places of life, we're not true disciples. Go back to our text in Luke 14, verse 27. Jesus said this, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If we give him certain rights, but then we withhold others, we're not true disciples. Because Jesus says you got to bear your cross. You know what that means, to bear the cross? It literally means death to self. I have no existence. I'm dead. I'm gone. My existence is in Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. There is no existence outside of him. Meaning that there is no right that I have to my own life anymore. Jesus Christ has absolute authority and right to every part of me, if I'm going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, there are just some things that I don't think I can do, Pastor. Well, I just don't hold a conviction like that, Pastor. I'm not willing to change in this area or that area or this area of my life. Then you're not a disciple, if it's biblical. Because Jesus Christ should have absolute right and authority to every area of life. Death to self. Amen? Discipleship not only means that Jesus Christ has absolute authority and right to one's life to do with as he pleases, but it also means that Jesus is paramount and he's preeminent in life. He's paramount. He's preeminent in life. If we place anything or anyone above or over Jesus Christ, we're not true disciples. Look what he said in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus isn't literally saying you have to hate your wife and you have to hate your husband or hate your children. He's saying in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ and to your love for him and your commitment to him and his lordship in your life, in comparison, it's as if you hated them. There's nothing preeminent over him. I think it's a hard saying, but it's the truth concerning discipleship. If we place anything above or anyone over Christ, even our relationships with family, with spouses, we're not true disciples. A true disciple is one who has love for the person of Christ, love that is proved by our obedience to his commands. A true disciple is one who has confidence in the word of Christ. They're abiding in it, continuing in it. And also one who has complete surrender to the will of Christ. Listen, we don't become disciples by simply satisfying the intellectual, meaning that we embrace this truth. We have this knowledge, head knowledge, that we're to be disciples. We don't become disciples simply by satisfying the intellectual. We don't become disciples by being convinced of the truth concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We can be convinced all day long that he's Lord, but that's not what makes us a disciple. We become disciples when we are convinced by the Word and by the Spirit to completely yield and to completely and totally yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to become a learner of him and a learner of his ways. Yieldedness totally and completely to Christ is what makes us a disciple. Note with me lastly here in our text that three times you see the phrase, "Ye cannot be my disciple." Jesus makes it very, very clear. But then he clarifies in verse 33 where he shows us how we can be his disciple. In verse 33, he says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." What is the implication? How can we be his disciple? By being willing to forsake all that we have and make him paramount and preeminent. Then we can be his disciple. It's God's divine will for you and for me to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. That is not optional when it comes to the Lord. It's his will for us to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. In order to do that, first of all, we need to be saved. Salvation puts us in a place of becoming a disciple of Christ. Then we need to be sanctified. That puts us in a place of being a disciple. But then we need full surrender. That puts us in a place of living as a disciple. Where do you stand? When it comes to this issue of discipleship, where do you stand? As we begin to develop these thoughts, the idea and the reason or the purpose is so that we begin to examine our own life and what we claim to what the Word of God teaches us concerning what true discipleship is, and see, where do I stand? And then to take God's Word and then apply it in our life so that we can become what a true disciple really is, if we're not. That's the purpose, because it's God's divine will that we be disciples of Christ. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about the calling of a disciple and examine a little bit further, a little bit deeper, this issue of true discipleship and what it really means in the practical life. Let's ask the Lord to help us be true disciples of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take your word and challenge us through it. Father, grow us in the Lord, in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the commands and the precepts concerning Christ and concerning true discipleship. And Father, I pray that you'd draw us close to you. Father, that you'd grow us up in truth, mature us in the faith. Father, that we become what you expect of your people. For your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.